Welcome to the Jasmine Star Show, a place where we talk about life, business, mindset. And today we are talking about day trading attention. I have to tell you that this moment is so much better than I could possibly imagine, because not only am I meeting a person who I've looked up to for years and somebody who I have regular conversations with my friends, like he is my friend, but the fact that I get to do it with an industry peer, somebody I'm so happy and proud. Welcome back, our co-host, Amy Porterfield, as she introduces. Yes, girl. So we're back. We have a day full of empowering conversations around business. But today we're really focusing on marketing. I am so happy and proud to introduce founder, entrepreneur, multi-time New York Times bestselling author, who's coming back yet again for another punch to our marketing face, Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary, thank you. And welcome to the Jasmine Star Show.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Okay. So I asked Amy to be the co-host and I said, Amy, can you curate a group of people who are so well known about going against the grain? So Amy, can you introduce us how you and Gary got connected?
Yeah. So Gary, you do not know this, but I would say 12, 13 years ago. Well, when did Crush It come out? How many years ago was that?
2009. So 15.
Okay. I was going to say 15, but I thought it was too much. Gary, geez, we're getting old. 15 years ago, because here's, it just kills me. Because here's the thing. 15 years ago, you wrote Crush It and you did this special promo that if people bought bulk of your book, you would make them a video and we could put the video out in our audience. Well, I had just left Tony Robbins 15 years ago. I had no audience yet. So you can bet I spent money I didn't have to buy all these books. And then you made a video for me. I got to give all the books out to people that bought my new program. You made a video and I just cherish that. So that's where we started. You didn't know we started way back then. But of course, I've been a fan. I've read every single book and I've loved everything you've done. But also the reason I wanted to have you on here is, as Jasmine said, she's a huge fan, but you don't know that she calls you Gare Bear. And I think you are her business crush. I mean, I think, is your husband okay with
fully sanctioned, fully sanctioned okay. Professional business yeah. crush. Like, so this is it. And I'm happy that Amy brought up the book by as part of something that she did, because yeah. it was 2015 and I was at an event and somebody generously, graciously handed me a book and said, hey, you really need to read this book by this Gary. And so I get on the plane, I start flipping through the pages, and I will tell you that jab, 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 right hook forever changed the trajectory of my life, my career. Here's why. And this is why I'm so passionate about day trading attention, because I can't wait to give this book to other people yeah. where I was in that journey. And as I was sitting on that plane, I'm flipping through the pages. And for the first time in my entire life, everything that I had said was ghetto. Everything I said was like short-sighted. Everything I was like, I don't have a lot of money, but I'm just doing what I can. Here I saw somebody who had built literally an empire doing the very things that I had done. So not only did somebody validate it, you made it beautiful and you made it real and you made it tactile. So then when I started reading Day Trading Attention, you had said the alternate title of the book was Jab, 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 Left Hook. Dude, Gary, I thought that was good. But we're here for Day Trading Attention. And we just want to say thank you. You are of our people and you are for our people. So we want to dive deep into marketing, get some really practical tips to get us going. So when we're talking aims, we're talking about the theme of going against the grain.
Yes.
Let's start here before we actually get into marketing, because we want to have like a mindset shift. How do we open ourselves to have the courage to do against what is the typical and the norm?
Yeah. So Gary, we have a theme for all the interviews we're doing today, and it's going against the grain. And I feel as though you are the perfect person to talk about this. Tell me a time that you went against the grain in order to grow what you have today. And also, what kind of risk did you have to take to do it?
First of all, ladies, thank you so much. You can't comprehend how humbling and warm that all just felt. So thank you. I have a pretty fun answer to this. I'm not sure I've ever not gone against the grain.
I agree.
And I'm not
agreeing.
You know, like, yeah. And I think this is where the weird thing is. I have not gone with the grain, because the grain is not by definition entrepreneurial. It tends not to be consumer centric. It's definitely never of the moment. It's always grounded in yesterday. I was at a big marketing conference in Miami last week, and I said, this was for the Fortune 500 companies. So the BMWs, the Coca-Colas, right? The biggest brands in the world, the Nissans. And I said, the thing with big brand marketing that's crazy to me is the industries that romantic about yesterday, they love to do television commercials and all this crazy stuff. They're obsessed with tomorrow. They're thinking about building stores in the metaverse and AI, and we suck at today. This is what I was saying to the industry. And that's, I would say that everything, I mean, when I told when my father told his liquor store contemporaries, other guys he grew up with in the liquor store game in New Jersey, that I was building a website for him, multiple guys that he grew up with asked him not to do it because I was going to put him out of business. When I started Wine Library TV in 2006, my father and my best friend Brandon and my cousin Bobby thought I lost my mind, and I'm not kidding. Like, genuinely. They thought it was weird. They weren't sure what I was doing. I don't know. Like, again, Amy, because we've known each other a long time, and actually, I think you can really put a pin in this. I think a lot of people back then with Crush It and all this other stuff, I was saying this stuff in 2008, mm-hmm. right? Because the book came out in 09. People thought I was crazy when I said that people were going to be able to make $100,000 a year talking about things they liked. I mean, I'll be honest with you, ladies. I don't ever think I am conformed to the norms. It's why I got D's and F's my whole life, right? Like, I knew school wasn't practical. It wasn't right for me. And I'm so obsessed with the end consumer that I think with the consumer at scale in a way that most people aren't, thus, it seems what I'm doing is crazy. Here's a big one. This one's going to land with you too. Remember when I started filming myself 24 hours a day?
Yes, yes.
When I started doing Daily B and doing D-Rock and all that, a lot of people had a lot of things to say behind my back. Who does he think he is? This is so ridiculous. Charlatan, you know, and now it's the norm. It's, you know, for so many, like, so, you know, it's the story of my life.
Okay, so question for you then. A lot of people are listening and they do not have the kind of courage or confidence you have to go against the grain. So it was just, it's part of who you are. I think you came out of the womb going mm-hmm. against the grain. But a lot of people listening, and Gary, our audience, they're making $100,000 in their business and they want to make a million. But they are so afraid to do something different, so they continue to do what everyone else is doing. What would you say to them? How do you give them that advice to go against the grain?
Against the grain is actually the practical thing to do. What I say to them is, I know a lot of people that have gone from 100,000 to zero because they didn't want to stop doing Google AdWords or email marketing or pamphlets or courses. Or, like, what I would say to them is, if you don't put yourself out of business, someone else is going to do it for you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So,
right. And just because I want to make sure everyone understood what I was saying there, when I say put yourself out of business, it means you need to try to do different things that might not work. You're not going to put yourself out of business, but what I mean by that is you need to innovate new things for you, because if you don't, someone else is going to do it, and then you're going to be out. Mm. And, you know, and like, I mean, look at search. We're literally living in the pre-dawn of AI, the Meta AI, the ChatGPT. These, like, you know, how many people run their entire business by Google AdWords? What if people stop going to Google to search?
Right.
That's like all the people that lived on Yellow Pages when I was doing websites, and I said, you're going to lose. You need to have a website, and search engines are coming. But now people make fun of all those people. Like, when I would do talks and everyone, like, the Yellow Pages people, they would all laugh, but now they've become the Yellow Pages people. They're right. One-dimensional Google search. Mm.
So when you talk about, if I may, we share a mutual friend and peer. And when you talk about doing the things that are practical, that the thing that is going to keep us in business, that's going to keep us moving forward, is doing the things that is unexpected. And yes, it does take a little courage. But oftentimes we look at that as like the nitty gritty work. And there was an observation that I read from Sahil Bloom. And I feel like if I could read it, it perfectly capsulizes what it is. You gotta love the dirt. Gary has had an incredible longevity in his career as an entrepreneur and a creator. We were chatting about what one allows and continues to thrive in their business over long periods of time. And his reply is, you gotta love the dirt. The dirt is where you start. It's where you build initial success, doing the things that don't scale, talking to customers, spending time in the details, testing and learning fast. It's where you find the early gold. But too many people get a taste of that gold and leave the dirt behind, head up to the skybox, and never build down in the dirt again. This is why they don't last. The dirt is where the game is played, and the dirt is where the gold is found. when somebody here is listening and they see what you have done and they see what you have built, what does the dirt look like for Gary now? Like, here you are with this amazing book, and we're going to actually get into the amazing practical marketing applications. But before we actually get to somebody doing implementation, what we have discovered so deeply and distinctly is that so many people can't get past that initial fear or the stigma of what it means being in the dirt. And so here you are embodying it. What does the dirt look like for you now? Because we know there's a YouTube Days of Wine library. What does it look like now?
You know, I think the reason, for example, there still is a Gary V brand is because I want to be in the dirt. I mean, what does the dirt look like? When I post social media content, right? When I post it, I'm writing the copy to my team of the post, right? Like, I am like literally writing the copy, right?
Yes.
Like, it is, I don't know what else to tell you. Like, I'm reading. I mean, literally, here's the post that all of you do. Like, obviously, this will come out, but here's the post, and there's the copy to the post. I'm the copywriter for my social media posts.
That's right.
I'm also reading the comments. I'm DMing people. In the book, I talk about this role called the PCS, the post creative strategist. This is the person that reads all the comments after you post something. I do that. I'm a PCS. I strategize the first second of the creative. I talk to the team. I like, to your point, it's happening right now in the meta. I'm at a point in my career, thank God, where this book will sell very well if I did no podcasts and no content. It will. But I want to do it for two reasons. Very frankly, I'm so flattered that I know this is like a nice thing for you too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how to not continue to do that. I want to give back to the game that built me.
Mm.
And number two, there are many people that are going to listen to this that are really hearing me in detail for the first time, or might not even have a great perception of me, but love you too. And are like, wait a minute, I never got past the loud or the curse. And like, there is more depth. Like, so I never have a part of me that isn't interested in leaning into humility at all costs. And another way to say the dirt is having the humility to keep doing the core principles that allow you to have the pulse of the consumer.
Yes and amen.
Okay, so let me be a devil's advocate. So many business teachers and mentors will say, you have to leverage so much in your business. You can't be doing it all. You can't be in the comments. You can't be writing the copy. You hire someone, so you're never going to scale if you try to do it all. But I feel like you're so different than that. So what would you say to that?
That both work. I have 43 full-time employees on my personal brand.
Really? 43 really? Employees mm-hmm. on your right. personal brand?
Maybe 29 now. We're sending a lot of them into VaynerMedia.
Okay.
A lot of them are on my team. And then, but I believe in both. I didn't make all these videos. My team post produced it. Dustin's filming me right now. There he is. There he is.
Where is he? Hi.
So I think both are true. I think that, you know, first you have to be able to afford a team. I did all my own stuff for the first 7 years.
Yes.
Then once you can afford a team, this goes back to what Sahil captured from our drinks. Like, cool, but you're also allowed to be in the dirt with your team.
Mm. Yes.
That's because you think of it as like farming. So at first you have a little farm and you're the farmer. And then like things get going and your corn is selling. And then you have enough money to hire someone and they're in the field with you. But you should be in the field with them.
I agree. And don't you think, tell me if you agree or not with this, where when you're first starting out, I was just like you, Jasmine is too, we did everything in the beginning. But I sometimes work with people that the minute they start a business, they want to outsource a bunch of the stuff, especially the marketing.
First of all, yes. And there's a couple reasons. First of all, most people start a business to buy a Lamborghini or a beach house.
Right.
So they're already dead on arrival because they're not doing it for the game. They're doing it for the money. And so the reason they get out of the dirt is because they don't like the dirt. They don't respect the dirt. They don't appreciate the dirt. They're trying to get to the penthouse. And in fact, there a lot of people try to not be in the dirt ever. They
get
somehow miraculously, like it's very funny out there. And that happens in everything. There's parents that are like that. They never really wanted to parent. There's coaches that think they're going to hire two assistant coaches and they're going to do everything. And they're going to walk around and say they're the coach of the baseball team. Like all things come in all shapes and sizes. There's people that think they'll be in great shape without eating right and going to the gym. Like okay, like knock yourself out. It's not going to work out. Like, so yeah, I mean, I think, and marketing to your point, they want to outsource because a lot of people don't know how to do it. Marketing is hard.
It's hard. Yeah. It is.
It's hard. It's a dirty secret that people don't want to admit. Like, this shit's hard. This is what, I mean, did the two of you or just one of you get to skim the book or read the book? Where are you at with it?
I've read the book
and I got it a little bit later, but I've started it.
So here's the thing. One of the things that was cited in the book was like a kind of like three movements in social media. So we started off algorithmically. So you would be post and you saw it whenever you logged in. And so you'd be able to catch up with whatever that looked like. And then the algorithm really changed where you had the edge rank, which you're being shown content by people who you know. It's who you follow. And then you express in the book the TikTokification of what it means in the algorithm. It's not just showing you people who you follow because your time and over time, your interests change. It's actually showing things that you have engaged with. So can you explain that in a little bit granular detail? Now we're going to get in the dirt.
Yes.
And I think we'd like to close the show with up in the clouds with what's next for us and like how implementing these strategies, really being in the dirt in our hair and underneath our fingernails is empowering us to do the next level thing, both inside and outside of VaynerMedia.
So, ladies, I think the thing that's really crazy is, you know, crush it. In a lot of ways, this is the follow-up to jab, 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 right hook, but there's a lot of crush it elements, which is like, if you do this well, if you want to be known for being a peanut butter expert or being, you know, a businesswoman boss or being a landscaper or known for, you know, beauty, like you implement this, you will get awareness, you will have opportunity. But what's interesting about it is, it's easier now than when I wrote Crush It or Jab, 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 Right Hook. Because to your point, and you broke it down beautifully, Jess, like it used to be email marketing. You would try to get as many people to follow you as possible, and then a percentage of them would see your content. Now, individual pieces of content find their audience. It's the interest graph, right? Back to visuals. This is Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr stock. They were companies that I first invested in. When I invested in Tumblr, I thought that Tumblr was going to be bigger than Facebook and Twitter because I was obsessed with this idea of following interests, not people. Because I felt interests had more evergreen than people because I knew that a lot of people were going to be young and things change a lot with your social graph between high school to college, college to post-college, and even your 20s into your 30s. And so pre-kids. So it made sense to me that like my love affair with the New York Jets or hip hop or video games or trading cards would stay with me much longer than maybe the kids I grew up with. But then when I moved away or my college friends and we moved away, like, and so we are now in the interest graph world. And so for everyone who's listening, this is very exciting. You've got three people in here who put a lot of work in to building audience and being known. The fact that you at home, if you're good enough with your content, this is why I wrote the book with such detail of how to be good at the content. Your speed in getting awareness is much faster. I had to build a slow building over time to become a big building. People can get it faster now because the algorithm, like if you're that person, you can go from zero to a million followers way faster now because your content will be seen. And so we now live in the interest graph algorithmic TikTokification world, meaning TikTok started that trend Musically, TikTok, and now every single platform from LinkedIn to YouTube Shorts to Facebook to Twitter to Instagram to Threads, like you're it's the content's reaching an audience that might like it, not who followed you. Yes, a percentage of who followed you, but it's a whole different game.
You know, you start off the book with such a palpable story with Dogface, and the reason why it hit home for me, and I want to be very clear, if you're a business owner and you're looking for a manual, an SOP of digital marketing right now, this is it. At the end of the book, there are a litany of examples. You do not have an excuse after reading the book to know what to do or what to try. And I want to just like hone in on one key point. If there's one sentence out of this whole book that you could walk away with is there's never been a greater time for you to get attention on social media because you're no longer on the outskirts of getting people interested in you. All you need to do now
which is insane, ladies, as you know, I'm sorry to interrupt, but which is insane because you would think it's counterintuitive. Everyone listening right now would think, oh, these three have really earned over the last decade or half decade this spot. How could I have done nothing? I don't even have an account. Oh my God.
Wait, exactly.
Are these they can blow us out of the water.
Exactly.
Yes. Great point.
That's insane.
Insane.
That's insane. when I think about what I believe in, I'm like, oh my God, this is like the greatest gift ever. And people are going to blow it because they're going to come up with excuses. Your point is taken. I wrote this book to suffocate every excuse, and yet people won't do it. And I know that because look, the foundations of being in shape are out there with eating and exercising. We all know. It's not like you don't know. It's not like I'm walking around being like, no, I think if I eat a ton of carbs and don't exercise, it's all going to be epic. Like, we know it, but can you do it?
Mm. So true.
So what are the common things that you see stopping? Like, you speak on stages. You go in from the boardrooms to warehouses to schools. Well,
you two are going to like this. This is how I evolved into the Gary Vaynerchuk I am now. I used to think it was tactics and all my books were written like that. And then I realized it was insecurity.
Absolutely. Yep. Because even in your story in the beginning of the book, Dogface almost didn't even post that video that got the millions and millions of views. And Gary, I've got to tell you, I'm very guilty of not posting videos because I think I look like an idiot. And I know reading your book, I know that's one of the biggest mistakes because you say someone else is going to find it valuable. Just get it out there. But many of us stop.
Yeah. And look, it's hard. Like many of us stop because we're insecure about the way we look.
Yes. The way we sound, like, whatever it is.
Yeah. People don't like the sound. Like I hate it. I hear people saying, I don't like the sound of my voice. I'm like, why?
It makes me want to cry for them. It makes me emotional. So what do you say to them? Gary, just yesterday.
I say that I'm desperately scared of regret. Everyone's going to be 90, God willing, and you're going to be like, why didn't I?
Yes. Yes. Just yesterday, I had a gentleman tell me on a live video, Amy, I want to post these videos. I'm making them like you say I need to make them. But I look at myself and I'm 60 years old and I look so old and I look around and everyone's young on TikTok and I just can't do it. And you're saying, but it's that regret if you don't. That's
correct.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be 80, not 60. And he's going to think he looked phenomenal at 60.
Yes. Amen.
Number two. I live my life out of the great fear of regret, and I think everyone ends up there. Whatever you're scared of now, it's not going to be as scary as being 91 and realizing you never followed your true self.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I didn't think we were going to go here, but here we are. So when we talk about making scary decisions, I've talked openly on my podcast about how back in 2017, there was an opportunity for an event through VaynerMedia called 4Ds. And it was $10,000 at the time. I don't even know. It's probably a lot more now. But at the time, it was $10,000 to spend a day at VaynerMedia with the Vayner team. And then you would come in and you would do a 1 hour Q&A at the end of the day. And I got this invitation via email. And I don't even think there was a website. I don't even think there was like a sales page. And I thought it was the craziest idea. I asked my best friend, I asked my dad, I asked my husband, business partner. I'm like, I think this is a crazy idea. And I made the commitment and I went. It was phenomenal. I had the best time. I sat around a conference table with 19 other incredible entrepreneurs. And I walked away from that event asking a question, knowing that I would get an answer that would change my career. And it did. That year, based on a lot of conversations we had in the room, I had built out a team and then yet another seven-figure revenue stream in the business. So I look back at that event and I was like, wow, that was game-changing. Well, a little bit ago, we talk about making another big decision. I got an invite to be a part of a program called Vive. See, it's so new, I don't actually know how to pronounce it. Vive. And it was a considerable investment to join a four-month program through the team with Vayner and having access and proximity to you. So I went through the application process. They told me how much it was going to be. And I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. Is this crazy? And then my husband looked across from me and he said, looking back now at who you were at 2017, having invested $10,000, you wouldn't even blink an eye to do that today. He's like, what if we were to build the next level of this business to look back at this investment and think it wasn't even a thing?
Nothing.
So when we think about making these big decisions and big investments, leveraging your personal brand, talking about what you're doing on the back of social media, I have consistently followed suit. I will continue to post. I will continue to show up. I will continue to still feel awkward, but not want to live with regret. And so then we get to this point where somebody says, okay, now it's time for me to bet on me. Is there a time in your life or career where you said, I'm going to bet on me? And then what came out from that opportunity?
I mean, I've only bet on me, right? Like the biggest bet I probably made was the first one, which was, I believe that I'm so remarkable. Thank you, Mom. I think I can actually spend the first 10 to 15 years of my career building a business for my parents and then leaving with nothing and starting over. You know, my story is been massaged for, I mean, many people know my actual story, but there are many people, because I read the comments, who like to think like my, I mean, I read a comment the other day on a TikTok post. They're like, how do we listen to this guy? He inherited a winery. I laughed so hard when I read that. I'm like, first of all, it's a liquor store in New Jersey. And second of all, who owns it now? I sure don't. Like, I think the biggest bet I ever made on me was actually that I wouldn't resent my parents. And that's probably the biggest bet I made. I knew that I loved them so much and I admired them so much and that I thought I was so capable. I mean, it's pretty insane in hindsight. At the time, it seemed really logical to me, but it's pretty insane to like decide when you're me that you're going to go work in your dad's liquor store for what ended up being every day for 12 years. And I'm still close to it every day, 6 or 7 days a week, 10 or 15 hours a day. Give up your entire 20s of enjoyment and joy and never get paid $100,000 a year while you build them a massive business and then leave and start VaynerMedia. And I had so little money, I had to start it in Buddy Media's conference room because I didn't have money to pay for rent. That's crazy.
Mm. Yes. So as we
bet on myself emotionally, about what I did. I bet on myself emotionally. I thought I would be emotionally strong enough to not be upset that I did that. And I ended up being very right.
Absolutely. Gary, I was thinking when you were saying that, I'm sure you've been asked this question a bunch of times, but I've got to ask it. Let's pretend that today you are starting from scratch. Let's pretend that you do not know all you know about social media. Like you know every which way compared to most people, but you're the average person just starting out. You want a dog walking business, but you want to teach people how to train their dogs online as well.
Okay. Can we actually workshop this? Because Gary, you have a ton of examples in the book. So we're going to look at this as like an amuse-bouche, yeah. Like prior to the filet mignon arriving to the table when you get that book. What we want to do is give somebody who right now is sitting with just their phone.
Yes.
They don't have a ring light. They have a virtual assistant who helps them 5 to 7 hours a week. They are at $100,000. They want to explode their dog walking business. They feel very stretched for time. This is likely a side hustle that has taken over some of their full-time work, but they still have another job. What are you telling this person to do? So yes. 3 action items that they can do this week to get from here to there. Great, let's go.
Okay, let's go.
Number one, strategy. So let's talk about this. The way you set it up, I'll give you the actual answer. Hey, Sally or Johnny, you got into $100,000 as a side hustle. We're halfway home. By the way, I'll make this even more exciting. If somebody's made $11,000.
Yeah, let's go there.
I'm going to go there.
Yeah.
So you're telling me you made $11,000 either in ads from YouTube or you sold a t-shirt or you've done 2 brand deals. And wait a minute, you're telling me you're doing that with 1 or 2 hours a night because you got a family and you need some rest and you actually work 9 to 5 to begin with and there's a commute and you've been able to make $11,000 with just an hour or so. Like that means you already have the propensity and the knowledge that this could easily be $200,000 if you just amortize out the hours, right? Or 400,000. So first, it's just a strategy of realizing it can happen because most people don't think it can happen for them.
What do you mean amortize the hours?
Well, if you make $11,000 and you only spend an hour a day on it, and that means you're putting 5 hours a week because on the weekends, your kids have 3 different sports and this, that, the other thing. Well, if you're spending 5 hours on it a week to make 11,000, what happens if you spend 60 hours on it?
Okay.
Right?
Yes. Game on.
Amortize out the average amount of money you make per hour. What happens is once you give up the job and you go full time on it, and of course, we have to talk about savings and be able to afford to make the leap. There's things to talk through here. But the first place I go to the person you just talked about, is making them realize that there's a high percentage chance that if they've already made 11,000, not zero,
mm-hmm, right.
For a person who's saying, I don't want to hear your I'm gonna. I'm only talking to people that have done and have made over $10,000 as a 1 hour side hustle a day. Now, if you tell me, no, Gary, I actually put 29 hours into 10,000, then I'm like, okay, let's take a step back. You're not as good as that other person, right? Because it's just math. But what I want them to know is they can. They need to know they can.
Okay, so what are the 3 things, this person right now, what are the 3 things that you're saying? Listen, buy the book, after the book, here are the three things I need you to do or try this week.
Look, real talk. If they, and you know this, ladies, if they buy the book, all the answers to my question are in the book. And I don't mean that as a book plug. Like, go to Pirate Bay and steal it. I don't care.
No, buy the book. It is very actionable.
It is very actionable. It is a homework book.
Here's what you two know, because you guys are deeper. Like, this is even deeper. Like, Jazz, this is really fun. Like, you may know, you probably agree with me on this. This deeper than 4Ds.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. This $28.
Right. Right.
So what do I think? The answer is very simple. I believe whoever makes the most amount of meaningful content in the world wins. Whether that's you two, me, Alex Earle, Charlie D'Amelio, Logan Paul, like I don't know, like, it's not complicated. Whoever is best at social media creative, organically, not paying ads. In that scenario, the dog walking person needs to make as much content as she or he can about dog walking. Now there's ways to do that. Someone's like, well, how? Where everyone gets stuck is, what do I make?
All the time, Gary. It's the number one question.
Well, just green screen alone. I can literally right now Google. I'm going to do it, actually. I can Google dog walking. I'm going to do this on spot. Spoosh, you might as well do it. Dog walk. All right. When I type in dog walking, now I'm going to go to a very important place on Google. News.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, I see what he's doing. I know what he's doing. Prepare your heart.
First result. Kim Kardashian used to be Madonna's dog walker. Right?
Yes.
Literally.
I recently saw that. I did see that online. Yes.
Well, if you're a dog walker, I'm screen shooting this like I just did, and I'm making a green screen that says, hey, everybody, see what dog walking can do for you. And the fact that you responded that way, that all of a sudden becomes a video that might get 80,000 views on TikTok from someone who's never made a video or has historically sucked at it. They did a green screen. There was no production value. I can do my own green screens. When I started doing them on my team chat, I'm like, all of you are in trouble. I might not need any of you. But here's why it's important. When that gets 80,000 views, because my profile on Instagram, YouTube Shorts, TikTok is perfectly done. My bio's right. My link is there. My phone number is there. My email's there. You're going to get 7 customers from it.
Okay.
And on and on. There's nothing more important than organic social media.
Okay, I agree. But using your book, because I write notes in my books. And my friends, when I share my books, they write notes back to me. But I had written more relevant to a variety of demographics is what results in sales. So content isn't enough. Content that scales a brand revenue is the goal. But you had said that relevancy is the stuff that is going to get you the results that you want. That was the key thing that I took away as the biggest takeaway. It's not just content, it's relevant content. So using that Kim Kardashian and Madonna, it would be, well, you can talk about dog walking and get attention from somebody who would never be paying attention to you, because if you could hashtag Kardashian or Madonna,
That's right.
So I just wanted to make sure that we're connecting the dots.
Let me give you another one. I'm just going to keep flowing.
Let's go.
Now as a dog walker, you make a video that's titled, why dog walking is the perfect first job for your 14-year-old. And then the video is, hey, parents, do you have a child that you're ready to get a job for, but they're kind of pushing back because they're cliche Gen Z? Let's talk about dog walking. Mm. Now, why that's important, when you put that into the algorithms, that's going to reach parents. Got it?
Yep. Okay, so can we...
Go ahead.
Let's take this to the next level. Now, this is the dog walker who is in Des Moines and wants to drive business using the green screen. So while it's great that they can get attention and go viral on TikTok, that's actually not their main goal. Their main goal is to get walkers there in Des Moines. How do we connect the dots between Des Moines, dog walking, green screen? Like, let's go.
Easy. So now you do Kim Kardashian. Now you do the 14-year-old mom thing. Now you do something else about best practices for dog walking. Now you do something that's titled, why German Shepherds are perfect for dog walkers, and you do all this stuff. You put it all organic. To your point, it's hitting the world. But the first 4 videos, including the Madonna, Kim Kardashian one, only get 40 views because, you know, you just started.
Right.
But the 7th one that says why every poodle owner should not get a dog walker in the first 6 months, it's titled that way.
Okay.
And you talk about it. When that one gets 8,000, now you're like, wait a minute, this video is better than the other ones. Then you take that video, you slightly tweak it. You take the original video, and at the end, you add another part of the video. And if you need a dog walker, hey, Des Moines, if you need a dog walker, I'm available. Link in bio. Here's my email. You then run an ad.
That's right.
In a 10 mile radius or all of Des Moines, you spend $90 on Facebook, Instagram. You see how it does. You get 4 emails because of that. You're like, holy, this is remarkable. You can then spend 200 more, 400 more. So that's why you have to go organic, because you can then turn it into performance and sales after you see if there's interest in the general video, and you make it localized, whether you're a barber or a hairdresser or a landscaper or a flower shop or a liquor store or a bowling alley. You got it? You go general. You let the algorithm confirm there's something there. Once you then you make it slightly, you tweak it slightly to be localized and a little more selly because you're selling. And then you run low amounts of media specifically on Meta, because Facebook and Instagram perform better right now than TikTok and YouTube Shorts. And then you could scale it from there. And we go into that. But that's the game.
Okay. This is why I'm loving your book, because one of the things my students ask a lot is, how do I know what to make an ad about? And when I was reading your book, you literally lay out, this is how you decide if it should be an ad. This is when you should turn it into paying some money with it. I want to just make one more plug about the book. It's very actionable like that. And why Jasmine and I were so excited to have you on and talk about this is our audience are literally asking every single question that you are answering in this book. So I guess one of the questions, well, did we do the three though, Jasmine? I don't want to get us off track.
No, we did. We took actionable things and we went through green screen. We went through creating enough content organically to then see what actually works. And then what we would do is we'd get that, we would recreate it and run an ad set to it. So three action items that they can start doing this week.
And when you were saying all that, Gary, one of the things that I was thinking, and I want to know what you think about this, is a lot of times people don't post because they're looking for a post that will go viral. They're saying, well, I need one that's going to get me even like hundreds and hundreds of views. So they're thinking about how many views can I get with this? So they're not posting. I'm guessing that's a big mistake.
Yes. Okay. Look, this is a crazy thing to say, but it's straight real. I get more excited when my posts flop than do well.
Why? Why would you say that?
Minimally equally. Dustin always snickers a little bit. But like, I'm telling you, I don't communicate it to him or even the team how much I deeply secretly love it. It's because I learn from it. Like, I want the humility. I do believe subjectively I'm at the tippy top of the game. And it feels incredibly validating to me knowing how hard this is and why we all have to continue to work on it. It's why I call it day trading attention. You've got to do this daily. It's a hard game. It's like, if you're a day trader of stocks, you've got to be hands on keyboard all day long to find those micro arbitrage moments. Same with this. Why do I like it? Because my self-esteem is not wrapped up in how many views I get on a video.
Yes.
That's why.
Oof. My self-esteem is not wrapped up in how many views I have in a video.
Amen.
So on that note, as we close this, we started off the conversation with the mindset shifts that we're going to have to take as entrepreneurs to show up as our full selves and do things that other people are not willing to do and have the humility to be in the dirt and then build. And then we talked about taking risks and betting on yourself. And that comes very naturally to you. And we also talked about going against the grain, which comes very naturally to you. And part of that is anchored with where we just ended the conversation, which is having the ability to see oneself and not judge oneself. In addition to that, cherry on top of the cake, we had three action items that people can start doing this week to have a profound impact on their business. And we talk about being at the tippity top and we talk about the things that you're doing. I have to say, if you don't mind, back in 2018, I've been following your stuff. I've been investing your stuff. And I had bought a series of K-Swiss. And part of buying this bulk of shoes from K-Swiss was that I had an opportunity to ask you a question on Instagram Live. So this is from a Slack message to my team in 2008. As some of you saw, I was slated to go live with Gary yesterday on Instagram and it felt like Christmas Eve. I was more than ready. I even hired a videographer to show up and record it. For 10 minutes, I tried unsuccessfully to join his live and he didn't see me at all. When he ended the call, I was shocked. We had been planning that call for almost 2 months. I was so sad. Okay, fine. I cried, which is so stupid. I know. It was ridiculous. I know it was ridiculous. I couldn't get my trash together. I felt like something slipped out of my hands. But this is what I know. Something better is coming. I believe it. Yesterday wasn't meant to be. And I trust that something better is on the horizon to serve a bigger purpose.
And here we are.
Damn, from a failed IG live
to right now. It's like we started from the bottom and now we're here. Gary, thank you.
Thank you, thank my friend. You. You are incredible. This book is incredible. Amy and I cannot say enough good things. Yeah. I have to know. I have you to know, Gary. Amy gets pitched a boatload. I get pitched a ton to talk about books. And the vast majority is no. But this book, Amy has already bought it for her team. I am highlighting it and telling it to my team. And I was like, y'all, we got the early issue. Thank you.
What made, you know, it's funny. The reason I'm jumping in is I'm so convinced that this is the book out of every book I've written, because I think the tipping point of everyone realizing social media marketing is now the absolute number one most important thing.
Yes.
It's actually the book that I think is going to most likely have the single buy, like literally, like, I'll just use a cliche example. A flower store owner is going to buy it because they're a fan of you.
Yeah.
Too. They're listening now. And when they read it, they're like, oh, and they're going to buy 6 copies for everyone that works at the flower shop. Even the guy in the back that just cut, like, because they're going to realize, okay, this is something. So it's interesting. The reason I'm asking, because I'm curious, Aim, like, what, back to that point, because you actually just did the thing that I know. Mm. And I know that there's been other books I've written that you've bought, Aim, that you did not buy for everyone on the team, which gets me to the point. What do you think made you want to buy it for everybody on the team?
Okay, 2 things. And I literally texted Jasmine last night like, oh my gosh, this book. And so it was 2 things. Number one, I am all about action. I want people just to get into action and do the thing. And so there's no excuse. When you have this book, you tell them exactly what to do and how to do it. There is no question. I feel like it's the guidebook for exactly what's happening in modern marketing today. So that was number one. And number two, you said it in the book. You cannot ignore this. You cannot run a successful business without this. So let's go. The time is now. No more excuses. I loved every minute of it.
It's interesting. Like, this is not a joke. You guys might laugh. I literally was weirdly bored at moments of reading the book for the audio version because it's so detailed. It started making me feel like I was in school.
It is, though. Honest to God, is a textbook. So it's like, you can't, nobody has excuses anymore, because I think in Jab, 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 Right Hook, we talked about it in theory and you gave examples and you profiled businesses.
But not like this.
It's like literally screen grabs of content.
There's like screens that there's like chunks and shit in this book. It's hard.
And like lots of examples. You bring it to life. Lots of examples. We're obsessed. We are obsessed and we are so excited.
But did you like this part where there's like the QR codes? I'm pumped about this part where like I talk about it, but you could actually like pull it up on your phone.
Okay, hold on. So for those of you who are not watching the video and you're just listening to the audio, as you go through the book, this is so freaking smart, is he's highlighting an example of a piece of content, but it's just a screen grab because it's like paper. Right. And so QR code, you can scan the QR code and then it'll pop you up to that piece of content. And I just have to say, as a sidebar, any creator who Gary is featuring, shout out. Y'all getting like one of the greatest marketing books to go down in this decade. And you're getting this shout out. Let's go, Gary. You should get
There's
currents, y'all. Gary got D's in school and yet created a textbook. How's that for full circle moment?
Right
there. There it is.
I literally want you to hear this. Like, it really was the weirdest thing I could, like, I'm always focused on my life works on why I talk so much about passion and doing what you like. When I like something, I'm like so laser focused. Like, I know like there's a piece of dust going by. When I don't like something, I glaze over it. Like I have to have like real family members be my lawyers because I'm not reading a contract. I mean, I glaze over it after the first sentence starts. This was so school in certain parts of the book because I was dying to write the book that got the reaction that you two are giving me from people that look like you two. Meaning, I can write a social media 101 book in an hour every day of my life until I die. I wanted to write the 301 course. The one you take junior year of college, where you're like, you know, like, as you, the reason you said earlier, we get pitched so many books. The reason you got two don't get excited is you're like, I knew that 5 years ago. Mm-hmm.
That is so true. It felt elevated, but still very doable. That you hit it on the head right there.
because it is. But I think what was really fun for me when I wrote it, some of the people on my team, so VaynerMedia has completely exploded. VaynerX, Sasha Group, all of it has exploded in the last 3 years. And I mean exploded, like, I'll share, like, we went from $100 million revenue business to $350 million. That's a lot of growth in a very short period of time.
Yes.
But it's because we figured this out 4 years ago. Like, I really hit another gear. Ironically, at the expense a little bit of my own personal content. I'm so busy building the machine and I'm so in the office all the time. And now out and about, I'm not giving my team the daily vlog content to make. Like, it's really funny, though. I think we're starting to the reason I'm even saying it is because I think we're about to really crush too. But what's crazy about this book is there's multiple people in my company that are upset about this book. This is real talk. Because they feel like every advertising agency is going to read it. And like, I gave away our secrets.
That's when you know you hit gold.
And I told them, I said, it doesn't matter. People aren't going to do it.
Ooh, so, right. Did you just say people are not going to do it?
Yes, yeah, same.
That makes me sad. But it's true.
Me too. But it's true. Like it's what I definitely did what I always do. I simplify. I did it in wine. I do it in marketing. I do it in life. I'm good at that. It's all there, as you know. I wrote it in a manner that would work for a lot of people that don't love my content because I'm very macro. I went very micro. This is like, there are people that are very different than me that are straight A students that this is going to be their favorite Gary Vee book. I already know it.
Yeah.
But I still know that people aren't going to do it because it's hard.
It is.
But it's actually, but it's easy. It's the same. It's everything in life. Going to the gym every day is hard if it doesn't come natural to you. But as someone who didn't do it for the first 38 years of his life, but has done it for the last 10 years of his life, but then there's a tipping point and then it becomes easy. It's still kind of hard because it doesn't come natural, but you can understand how to do it. I used to tell people 10 years ago that I didn't go to the gym because I was too busy. I am 400,000 times more busy today than I was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I go every day.
Because you know the rewards. You know what it will do for you. You believe in it.
And that's why I'm so obsessed with this one.
Yeah.
Like, I know, just like Crush It and Jab, Jab, Jab. Jazz, thank you so much for saying it. I get it every day. Every day of my life, I get an email or DM, multiple, by the way, of someone telling me that Crush It and or Jab, 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 Right Hook, and occasionally Crushing It, changed their life. Every day. I think this book is going to do 10 times, 20 times that by itself, because I know I pushed myself further than I've gone with the others.
Mm. And it shows. And it shows.
And that's why I think you two reacted this way. Mm. And I wrote it for you, meaning I wrote it for people that really know me or really know somebody else that really knows it. Like, they themselves know it. They're actually winning, but they don't realize how much they're leaving on the table.
Yes.
Because if I wrote it that way, it's definitely going to work for everybody who's listening who's never done it.
I love that. Gary, we want to say thank you for your time. We want to say thank you for inspiring us. And thank you for reminding us that it is simple. It is not easy. For you saying it is hard, it's like, fine. So we accept the hard and we drink from that cup.
Yeah.
And so
I apologize for interrupting, but it's also fun.
It is. If you let it.
This is why I want people to do it around dog walking or pizza making or building jungle gyms or Legos or reading bedtime stories. Do the thing around things you like. Don't chase trends. Don't chase crypto or cannabis or real estate because you think that's where the money is. Do it around things you either A, really know, or B, are just obsessed about. If you're obsessed about the Phoenix Suns, make your content about the Phoenix Suns. And oh, by the way, let me give you another one. Powerful part I talk about in the book. And it can be, and I make content about the Jets and garage sailing and V Friends and business and marketing and wine. Too many of you listening think, you know, I need a niche. Your niche is you.
Mm. Yes.
Mm. I Love that. And Gary, I think I can speak on behalf of Amy and myself. Thank you for seeing us as a niche, as individuals, as entrepreneurs. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to talk about a book we love and we'll be giving away to people we love. For people who wanted to connect with you and give you a shout out, you're Gary V on all social platforms. Anywhere else besides going to your local book retailer and buying A Trading Attention, anywhere else you want to send people?
Nah, I think back to, first of all, thank you.
Okay, in the history of all podcasts I've ever done, no one has ever said, nah.
Like, they're like, yes, in this place. You're like, nope, book. I'll hit them up on social. Yes.
So good.
Honestly, it's weird. I really didn't want to do any marketing for this book because I think this is the first one since Crush It that it's going to do the work by itself.
It will. It will.
Well, we're very glad that you decided to do this because this was a delight to us. So thank you so very much, Gary.
Thank you. Thank you for watching and listening. The Jasmine Star Show, Amy Porterfield and I are so happy and honored that you're here. Thank you for giving us the time to ourselves and Gary. And be sure to buy Day Trading Attention wherever your favorite bookseller is. Thanks again.